Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
Good morning. I'll be reading from Luke 15, 4 through 7. That's Luke 15, 4 through 7. I'll be reading from the ESV. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he finds it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance.
Good morning. Certainly good to be with you all this morning, and grateful for the opportunity to be here to present to you a message from God's Word. And just before I begin, I'd just like to extend my thanks to the congregation here for all of the support that you've given to me while I've been a student at the Southeast Institute of Biblical Studies. It's very much appreciated, and I enjoyed visiting with you last time, and I'm glad to be with you this morning. As we consider Jesus's earthly ministry, he went about doing what was good and teaching many people from all sorts of backgrounds, from those who were Jews to those who were Gentiles, those who were Pharisees and Sadducees, those from all sorts of backgrounds. In fact, in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, we can read of how Jesus went about doing good. And when we come to Luke chapter 15, we read of an occasion where Jesus is there, and there were tax collectors and sinners that drew close to him to hear him. And we can read of this in Luke chapter 15 and verse 1. The Pharisees and scribes, when they saw this, they complained that Jesus basically received these sinful people and was willing to eat with them, to fellowship with them, rather than keeping himself separate from these sinful people as they saw it. And we can read that in Luke 15 and verse 2. And so in response to the complaint of these Pharisees and scribes of how Jesus would be willing to spend time with these people who were sinners, Jesus tells three parables that you can read in Luke 15 verse 3 through to the end of the chapter. They are the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, sometimes called the prodigal son. And so in our lesson this morning, I'd like for us to consider the first of these parables, that is the parable of the lost sheep, and to consider three aspects of the shepherd's connection with his sheep as we go through. And so those characteristics are the shepherd's relationship with his sheep, the shepherd's rescue of his sheep, and then the shepherd's rejoicing over the lost sheep that he found. So if you open your Bibles to Luke chapter 15, and we'll look at verse 4 as we consider the shepherd's relationship. So Luke chapter 15 and verse number 4, and if you have a bookmark, you might like to place it here. This will be our text for this morning. Jesus says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it?" What I want for us to consider here is that a shepherd that is a good shepherd, one who is proficient at his job, knows his sheep. He has a relationship with his sheep. You can contrast this to a hireling. If you go across to John chapter 10, John 10 verses 12 and 13, and you can think of a hireling basically as one who is not the shepherd. He doesn't own the sheep. He doesn't have any sort of investment in it. It's kind of like a babysitter, if you will, for the sheep, someone who's just basically hired to just mind the sheep for a time, and then when he's done, then he leaves the sheep and has no connection with them. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, "But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. And so we can understand, I suppose, from the hireling's point of view, if you were just perhaps paid to go and mind some sheep that you didn't own, you didn't raise, you didn't spend much time with them, and maybe a wolf or a lion comes to attack them, and you have a choice whether you're going to try and fend off the animal and protect the sheep, or whether you're just going to go home and look after yourself. You can understand the hireling's reasoning of basically he might think, I don't get paid enough for this, I have no reason to look after these sheep. Not saying that this attitude is right, but we can understand his mindset. However, when you contrast this with a shepherd, one who owns the sheep, perhaps one who spent a lot of time raising the sheep, maybe from little lambs up to more mature sheep, he has a relationship with them. He has a care, a bond that he's developed with his flock. And he has a great knowledge of the various sheep that are part of the flock that he is entrusted with. And so we see here in the parable that the shepherd, he noticed when one of his sheep went missing. Maybe, and I know this is a parable, but we could picture in our mind, maybe he saw the sheep wander off and then realized it didn't return back a bit later. Maybe it was a case that he was just going about minding his sheep, tending the flock, and when he came to count up his sheep, he found that he only had 99, and that one of them must have gone missing. In either case, the shepherd took the time and had the awareness that one of his flock was lost. He didn't just proceed as if everything was fine and think that, well, he's got a bunch of sheep, so probably everything's okay. As we think of Jesus being our shepherd, Jesus, he knows us, his sheep, in a perfect and complete manner. Going back to John chapter 10 and verse number 14 this time, John 10 and verse 14, Jesus himself says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. And so Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd, and indeed he is, and he knows his sheep. He knows each one of us here in this room today. He knows everyone. When we think of Jesus, he is uniquely qualified in his knowledge of us as his flock, as people, because Jesus, as we've remembered in the Lord's Supper, he came to earth in human form being a man, being subject to all the difficulties and temptations that human beings are subject to, yet he lived his life perfectly and gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins. When we think of Jesus coming to be a human being on earth, living amongst people, he had experiential knowledge of how we live. But also, when we think of Jesus being God as well, one of the attributes of God is he is omniscient, that is, he knows everything. And so, both from Jesus' experience with human beings on earth and Jesus being God, knowing everything, he has perfect knowledge of us, and he knows us better even than we know ourselves. And so if we wander away, if we depart from him, Jesus knows that. By way of application, we may struggle at times to find our way in life. Maybe we're struggling with sin. Maybe we're not being as faithful as we ought. And we think that it's just so difficult that we can't find our way to be pleasing to God, that we want to do what's right. We see everyone else that seem to have their lives together, and we might find ourselves struggling. Maybe we haven't seriously followed God as we ought. Maybe we come along to church services and read our Bibles on Sunday, but as we go through the week, perhaps we're not as dedicated as we ought to be. Maybe we've just sort of meandered through life with no real, genuine, or lasting purpose, just going along with whatever the world says, because that seems what everyone's doing, that seems to be what's popular. Maybe we get through a week at work and go out on the weekend and drink alcohol with our colleagues because that's what everyone else seems to be doing before resuming the whole cycle again and just feeling miserable with all of the effects of that. Perhaps we know that there must be something more to life than just going along to school each day or going along to work or whatever the world has to offer. Maybe we struggle with sin, such as swearing or drinking alcohol, as I mentioned, stealing, gossiping, or any other sin that we might struggle with. And we can think, how can I find my way back home? Is there any hope for me? Well, what I want for us to consider is that we should know that God, being our shepherd and being God, he knows who we are. He knows our desire to do what's right. He knows all of our struggles and all of our thoughts that we think. If you look in Psalm 139, verses 1 through to 17, you can read there of how the psalmist talks about how God has this perfect knowledge of him, which is true for the psalmist as well as for each one of us. God knows the psalmist rising up and is sitting down. He knows everything about him. He also describes about how God is present, that there is no place the psalmist can go in this earth where God is not present, where God cannot find him. And so we can take comfort that God knows everything about us, and that even though we may feel ourselves very distant in a hopeless, lost state, God knows who we are, he knows our struggles, and he wants us to choose to follow him and to come back home. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, Paul writes, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." So we learn from here in that when we face temptations, it's not that God has abandoned us. God is faithful, and God will make sure that the temptation that we face will not be so great that we're going to be overwhelmed by it, that we have no choice but to sin. God will always make sure that there is that way of escape, that if we look for that way, we seek to follow God, we can choose to be faithful and to resist the temptation and avoid sinning. And this means that God knows our limitations. He knows what we're capable of. He knows our situation, our desires, and can provide that way of escape for us to take. When we think of Jesus being our shepherd, as I mentioned before, he lived as a human. And so he knows what temptations that we face, even though he never sinned. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, Hebrews 4 and verse 15, the Hebrews writer says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." So what I want for us to consider for ourselves is that even though we may be lost and we might think that situations seem very hopeless or helpless, we should never give up on ourselves and think that our situation is hopeless or that we're just going to remain lost, because God has not given up on us and he can lead us back to him through his word if we will choose to follow him. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, it says there, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." And so as long as we have that desire to do what's right, to follow God's word, and we are doing our best to read the Bible and to follow it, then we have the promise of God that he's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. He knows where each one of us are. And as long as we are doing our best to follow him, God will be with us. And so we see here that the shepherd, he has a relationship. He has a knowledge of each one of his sheep. And this closeness, this relationship that the shepherd leads to his willingness to not only recognize that one of his sheep went missing, but he was willing to go and rescue any of his sheep that was lost. And so if you go back to Luke chapter 15, and we'll consider the shepherd's rescue of his sheep, Luke 15 verses 4 and 5, Jesus says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing." What I want for us to see here is that the shepherd, he recognized that one of his sheep was missing, and he then took the time and effort to find the one lost sheep because he cared for it. He loved this sheep that was entrusted to his care. Now, I mean, if you put yourself in the shepherd's shoes, you could think that, well, sheep are just silly animals that seem to just not know what to do, and it shouldn't have wandered off in the first place. And so if the sheep got itself lost, well, that's its own fault, and just stayed with the rest of his sheep, because after all, I mean, I've got most of my sheep. But he could have thought that the 99 sheep, they hadn't left him, and just stayed with them, thinking that, well, he would look after these sheep, and that one lost sheep wasn't worth his time or attention. It wasn't worth him trying to find or save it. But we see that that's not the attitude that the shepherd has in the parable. We see that the shepherd was willing to go and find that one lost sheep. If you turn across to Matthew chapter 18, in either the same or a similar parable that Jesus tells, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 12, we read this and find this detail. Jesus says, "What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying?" And so we have this detail that the shepherd would be willing to not only seek the sheep, but go to the mountains to find it. So when we think of the shepherd going to find his sheep, it's not simply that he was walking through a field where maybe there was nice flowers and lush pastures to go and walk through and just have a nice stroll to find the sheep that went missing. When we think of this, the terrain that the shepherd may have had to go across and traverse could have been difficult or at least unpleasant to travel to find the sheep. According to the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, the mountains and hills of Palestine are the features of the country and were much in the thoughts of the biblical writers. Their general aspect is that of vast expanses of rock as compared with better watered regions of the earth. The verdure is sparse and incidental. These mountains are apt to repel the casual traveller by their bareness. And so this terrain that the shepherd may have had to cross to find the sheep could have been very unpleasant to have to travel. Yet the shepherd, he went anyway because he had such care and such love for the sheep that was lost. As we think of Jesus being our good shepherd, Jesus, he cares for each one of us. Going back to John chapter 10, verses 11 to 15. John chapter 10, verses 11 to 15. Jesus says here, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." So we see here that Jesus, being the good shepherd, he loves and cares for each one of his sheep, for each one of us, and that he loves us so much that he was willing to lay down his life for the sheep, as we've just remembered in the Lord's Supper. He gave his life so that we can be saved, so that we can be rescued from the path that was leading to hell. This shows that he values each one of us as individuals, as individual sheep, if you will. As we think about this, it doesn't matter what our background is. Jesus, he cares for and loves each one of us. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, Galatians 3 and verse 28, Paul writes there, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." And so it doesn't matter what our family situation is. It doesn't matter whether we're from a family where everyone in our family is a Christian. It doesn't matter whether we're the only Christian in our family. It doesn't matter whether we're male or female. It doesn't matter our race. It doesn't matter our social status, whether we're rich or poor, or even what we have done in the past. If we will read what the Bible says and follow it, then we can each receive the forgiveness of our sins and be pleasing to God, because God and Jesus loves each one of us. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Galatians 2 and verse 20, Paul writes, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And so Jesus, he loves each one of us, and Paul applied this very personally to him. If you notice in the last part how he said he loved me and gave himself for me. And we can put our own name there in that Jesus loves each one of us. He died for each one of us. We know this because in John 3 and verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And so if we want to be found, if you will, to be forgiven of our sins, that is, and not to remain spiritually lost, then Jesus will forgive us. He will rescue us if we will choose to go with him by following what he says in his word. Jesus is not going to force us to do anything that we don't want to do. Jesus is not going to haul us away and drag us as we're trying to resist and go wherever we want to go. If we want to go somewhere else and depart from him, Jesus, in his love, will allow us to make that choice. But hopefully we see that by following God and being with Christ, being in a right relationship with God, is the way to eternal life where all blessings are found. And that we will make that decision to choose to follow what God's word says and to be saved from our sins. Jesus did whatever it took to enable us to be found or to be forgiven. Jesus done everything necessary so that if we will choose to go with him, we can be with him in a right relationship. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 to 46, you can read of how Jesus, before he was crucified, went and prayed to his Father three times that basically if there was some other way to let this cup pass from him so that he wouldn't have to go to the cross. But we know that in order for the penalty for the sins of the world, for the sins of you and me, to be paid, Jesus had to die upon that cross. And so Jesus, even though I'm sure he would have preferred to not go, he went anyway because that was the way that we could be saved, to be able to be found and saved from our sins. By way of application, we can always be found if we want to be found. That is, if we are willing to submit to obeying the word of God. For those who have not become Christians, if you're here this morning and you haven't obeyed the gospel, if you choose to, you can follow what the Bible teaches to become a Christian and to receive the forgiveness of your sins. For those who have become Christians but maybe have wandered back into the world and struggled with sin and haven't been as faithful as you ought, if you recognize that you are lost and bring yourself back to the word of God in obedience, then we are found as well and saved instead of being lost on the way to hell. With all of God's care for us, with all of Jesus' care for us, it is only right for us to follow him. After all, the shepherd knows what is best for his sheep. And so as we've considered the shepherd's relationship to his sheep, his knowledge of them, his willingness to go and rescue his sheep to bring it back, let's now consider the shepherd's rejoicing. So if you'll return back to Luke chapter 15, and we'll read verses 5 through to 7. Luke chapter 15, verses 5 through to 7. Jesus says, "And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." We see here that the shepherd, he rejoiced when he found the one lost sheep. I mean, after all, the shepherd took the time and effort to go and find it, and after perhaps much searching and effort, he went and found it, and he was glad that he had found it. H. Leo Bowles, in his commentary in the Gospel Advocate series on Matthew, he said, "This does not mean that he values the one greater than he does the 99, but to restore the one to the flock gives him greater joy for the occasion than the remainder of the flock." So if you think of it this way, Jesus, he values all of his sheep, the whole flock. But those who were lost, that one sheep in the parable, was in danger. And so it is a cause for great rejoicing when that sheep is now brought back home into the safety of the fold. We see in verse 5 that he laid the sheep on his shoulders and brought it back home with him. Now, notice that he didn't make the sheep walk behind him in anger because it had wandered off. I mean, maybe if you were the shepherd or if I was the shepherd, we could wander along and maybe have to do much walking and climbing through the mountains to find the sheep and think, well, there's this sheep, like as helpless and as silly as it looks, and think, well, come on, I've gone through all this effort. Do you realize how much trouble I've had to go to find you? And I'm just going to make you walk behind me and follow me as I go back to my field. But we see, no, that's not the attitude that the shepherd had. Rather, the shepherd, he loved his sheep, he found it, and he made sure that it was looked after in bringing it back on his shoulders back home. We see that the joy that the shepherd had caused him to tell his friends and his neighbours, showing that this was a momentous occasion. It wasn't just, oh, well, that's nice that I found the sheep. If you've ever had something happen to you in your life where you've been really pleased or excited or happy about something and you tell your family and your friends, this is kind of the image that we have here, and that this shepherd went and found this one sheep that was lost. And so he had all his flock together and he told his friends and neighbours that you can see in verse 6. And he said to rejoice with him. And so, by way of application, it's actually given to us in the parable in verse 7, where Jesus says, "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." So, Jesus, he gave his life for us to be forgiven, to be rescued, to have a hope of a home with God in heaven. And when we think of all that Jesus has gone through, this shows how much that God wants for each one of us to be saved. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, we read there, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." And so God wants all men, everyone, to be saved. We see a similar passage in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, where Peter writes, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And also, if we go across to Matthew chapter 18 and verse 14, that similar or same parable with the lost sheep, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 14, Jesus says, "Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." And we can see that this is very much true, not only through the statements that we have in Scripture, but through the tremendous cost that God went through in giving his only begotten Son in Christ to be that sacrifice for our sins. And so when we think of all that God has done for us, the love that he has for us, the joy in heaven that would be found over a sinner who repents of their sins, follows God, and is forgiven, the joy in heaven would be greater than that of the shepherd in the parable who found the lost sheep. Because as joyful as finding a lost animal would be to now have your whole flock together, to have a person who was once departing from God in disobedience and rebellion on their way to hell, to come back to be with God, to receive the forgiveness of their sins and to be in a right relationship, causes God tremendous joy. In fact, if you look back in verse 7 of Luke chapter 15, it says, "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven." And when you think of who's in heaven, well, certainly there are the angels who would rejoice. But most importantly, there is God. There's God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they all rejoice when we come back to God and we follow him and walk following his word, rather than just wandering away and being lost. Because of what God has done for us, and how we know he feels about us repenting from sin, the joy that it causes him, we should be motivated to live for God each day and to follow him no matter what, no matter how difficult it might be. Because after all, God, being our shepherd, he knows what is best for us. He has that perfect knowledge, being God, knowing what is best for us, and he has the perfect love and care for each one of us. If you look in Psalm 23, verses 1 to 4. Psalm 23, verses 1 to 4. We see that God, being our shepherd, knows what is best for us. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." God, being our shepherd, we see that he knows where the green pastures are, where there is good food or good water, if you will. He knows the right and safe paths for us to go through. And even if we're going through difficult or dangerous areas, God is able to look after us and guide us through his word to make sure that we come through it safely. And that if we will follow our loving shepherd, then we will get to be with him forever. We will get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever if we follow God all of our lives, up to when we pass away or until the Lord returns. In verse 6 of Psalm 23, it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And what a wonderful hope, what a wonderful blessing and promise is given to each one of us, that if we will each choose to follow what God's word says and remain faithful to our shepherd, to ensure that we are not wandering away, getting ourselves lost in sin and being faithful to God, staying in a right relationship with him, then we will have all of our needs provided for and even exceeded, that we'll be blessed beyond measure and we get to be with God in heaven. So as we review what we have covered, we have considered the shepherd's relationship with his sheep, of how he knows his flock. He knows each one of our situations, our desires, and our struggles. We've seen how that relationship, that knowledge, motivates the shepherd to be willing to rescue his sheep, even if it was just the one sheep that was lost. And then we see that once the shepherd found the sheep and brought him home, we see the great rejoicing that this caused the shepherd over the sheep that was lost now being found. As we think for each one of us today, we have a loving shepherd in heaven, Jesus Christ, who has done everything that he can, everything needed for us to be saved. However, it is up to us to choose to go with the shepherd, to obey what he says, to receive the forgiveness of our sins. If you are here this morning and you have not obeyed the gospel, then you are like that lost sheep. And while you remain disobedient, you refuse to be rescued, to go back home with him. But as we've seen, God, he doesn't want you to be lost. He's done everything possible for you to be saved. And so if you are here this morning and you haven't become a Christian, but you want to come home, you want to receive the forgiveness of your sins, then you need to hear the word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. You need to believe, Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. You need to repent of your sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. To confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then to be baptized by immersion in water for the forgiveness of sins, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. And at that point, if you do those things, you will become a Christian and receive the forgiveness of your sins. However, if you are here this morning and you are already a Christian, but you have found yourself wandering back into sin, going back into the way of the world, not being as faithful as you should, then you must repent and pray for forgiveness. And if you do, then God has promised that he will forgive you. And there is that same joy in heaven over you no longer being lost, but having the hope of heaven that God has prepared for you. So if we can help you to ensure that you're walking right before God, whether that be obeying the gospel or asking for the prayers of your brethren to help you, please let it be known as we stand and as we sing our closing song.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.